Okay. Welcome. Welcome to the workshop here for the water reclamation facility for the city of Morro Bay, the program that's going on right now. Just want to, first of all, thank everybody for coming out tonight, knowing that Halloween is just a couple days away. And I'm in my costume tonight, acting as a consultant. I'm John Rickenbach. I'm the deputy program manager for the city's program for the water reclamation facility project. And also want to make a few introductions and a little housekeeping items before we move forward too far. In the back, greeting you, you would have met Mike Nunley, who is the program manager overall, and he's still back there. He's available, and he's an engineer, and I'm a planner, and that's the difference. That's why I'm talking, and he's in the back greeting you back there. We also have over here at the desk Debbie Rudd, who is the outreach program coordinator. You'll be hearing more from Debbie as we go through our presentation and workshop, which is going to be interactive tonight. I'll tell you about that in a minute. Also want to just introduce you to a few key staff around the room. In the back, Dave Buckingham, the city manager. We've got Rob Livick, public services director. We've got Rick Sauerwine somewhere, capital projects manager, and Bruce Keough, who runs the current treatment plant right now. And we're also represented out here. I think the mayor, Jamie Irons, is here, and Christine Johnson, I see. So we have a lot of folks here tonight in one city capacity or another. I want to go over for a minute here what we're going to try to do tonight and kind of block it out time-wise. We know we've got this workshop. We're planning to be here till 8:30. If that runs a few minutes long, that's probably going to be okay. But we're going to try to keep to that schedule. We also want to let people at home know we're planning on doing a couple of interactive things that they're going to be fun, pretty fun. You get to use clickers like this, and you also get to help us figure out a few things as we work through some of the visual preferences and also some other opinion type of issues as we move forward. Tonight, though, one of the first things that I want to do is bring everybody up to speed a bit of where we are in this process. I think that's for the benefit of some people who haven't followed things as much, and then kind of let you know where we are in the process, what we've heard so far from everybody. And our basic goal tonight is to get feedback from the community on the facility master plan and the reclamation plan that are at the heart of what the whole water reclamation facility program are all about. We'll explain a little bit about what those are, but in effect, the cookbook for how we move forward with this project. We also, in doing that, we want to tell you what we've heard, but we also mostly want to hear from you and drill down on points that we may have heard so we can inform that process, so that as we're going through the process, the engineers and the planners who are working on it can get that right. We also, a big component of this is visual. We understand that. We know that compatibility issues are important, and we do know that having your opinions is very important, and we've heard a lot so far. It's items 6 and 8 that are really going to be the meat of this whole presentation, the Tell Us More and the Visual Preference Survey. Debbie's really going to lead both of those as we go, and she'll explain that. But in a nutshell, the Tell Us More is going to involve these boards up here where we're going to be writing things down. The Visual Preference Survey is going to involve this screen up here, and you're all going to get a clicker like on Who Wants to Be a Millionaire, and you get to click on preferences and put them in the right order, things like that. I also have to say, for anybody who watched the news last night, that the program is likely to be a magnitude of 100 times or more cheaper than what they had reported last night on the news. So that's the good news. And the other good news there is that that hopefully brought out a bigger crowd. So hopefully we're in a good position right there. Okay, the workshop here, again, we want to update you a little bit. I went through this a little bit, but I always want to start with the goals. The goals are very important. These goals are things we've seen before many times over the last couple of years, and these are goals that were put forth by the City Council to guide the process. That's where we're starting, is with the goals, and I just want to remind people. We're talking about producing tertiary treated water. designing for cost-effective reuse, that is to say reclamation. What do you do with the water once you treat it? Potentially allowing for on-site composting. Energy recovery was a goal. Treat for contaminants of emerging concern. That's things that relate to disease and medical waste. Potentially allowing a site design for other municipal uses, including corporation yards, other things. We want to talk about that a little bit tonight. Compatibility with neighboring land use is important, and also the overall time frame here. And that is to say, a five-year time frame was the goal to get something operational on the ground. That's the starting point of where we're at. And behind that were some objectives, really, that drove those goals. Again, high-quality wastewater treatment so we can reuse the water. And that's the second one, reusing the water. And the third one is overall cost effectiveness. That's themes we know that drove all that. So let's talk about where we're at in the process. This is a map. The yellow line over there is the city of Morro Bay city limits. Highway 1 down to the right ends up in San Luis Obispo. Highway 41 going up to the left ends up in Atascadero. And we're focused on the Rancho Colina site, which is about a mile up Highway 41 from Highway 1. We're focused on that because that was the direction from council. Study this site. See what we can do there. Let's see where that goes. And ultimately, that will help inform whether it works at that site and figure out to go from there. This is just a close-up of the Rancho Colina site. You can see the Rancho Colina Mobile Home Park community down in the lower left-hand corner. And it's a large site, 187 acres, but really we're focused more on the lower end of that. And honestly, what we're really trying to do here is more generally focus on the issues of what do you put on a site wherever it's located. A quick slide or two about where we are. We've been at this for a couple of years now, where we've gone through an options report to look at a bunch of sites. We ended up in 2013 and 14 going through that. Ultimately, we got to the point where the council selected the Rancho Colina site to study further and drill down on a facility master plan to see if that works. This summer, we got to a point where we did select Black and Veatch to start preparing that facility master plan. They're underway with that. We've heard some very good information, which has been heard through the Citizen Advisory Committee through them, but they're continuing to work on that. Where they're at right now, though, is to the point where they're learning a lot about design issues and what the ground is all about and what we need to put there. Where we're at now is to figure out how do you actually do that on the site. And so they have representatives here tonight. You may have met some of them who are listening very carefully to what you all say tonight. So now here we are. The process is underway. The outreach program has really, quite honestly, been ongoing for 2 years, and this is the first large community workshop that's really focused on this. We have had other workshops along the way recently, including just a week or so ago, a forum on a Saturday to talk about different ways to deliver the project, that is to say, how do you actually get this physically, mechanically on the ground, wherever you put it. We're looking at, soon going through the CEQA process that will be important here, and also tracking different grant and loan opportunities, funding, and the master reclamation plan, which is the plan to figure out what to do with water once we treat it. I only put this slide up here very briefly. It's a schedule overview. This is a multi-year process, and that's the only reason I want to go through this right now. I don't want to go in great detail, but this doesn't happen overnight, and we're toward the beginning of this process, and the goal, again, is 5 years to get an operational treatment facility to be reclamation ready, and then we move on from there as that pans out. Even in the first year, and this slide here is just intended to show there's a lot of things going on at the same time, even as we speak, from facility master planning, outreach, tracking costs, tracking opportunities for funding. The environmental process will be starting once we figure out what it is we're actually studying and where we're studying that. And the important part, let me emphasize again, is the facility master plan that we're starting right now. As I say, it's a cookbook for what could happen, what would happen. It's actually like a prescriptive document that will allow whoever ends up being the designer and builder of this facility, you follow these steps and you do that. It won't be so prescriptive that you have to do exactly what it says. It's really going to be a little more general to allow some flexibility in the design. But what we want to know is to set parameters. It needs to do this. It needs to. We could, among other parameters, look at how it needs to look, the kinds of facilities that would be on the site, how that relates to other off-site land uses. And that's the kind of feedback we're looking for from you today to some extent. I kind of went through this slide a little bit, but one of the things I didn't touch on here before is a little bit is we have a citizen advisory committee who's been meeting quite regularly for a long time, and they're invaluable in this process. They're the eyes and ears of the community to vet this process and really provide a lot of direction for the program management team and the engineers working on this to move forward. They actually ultimately make a lot of recommendations to the council on how we should move forward on all these questions. And I know we have several members of the advisory committee here tonight listening.
Who are they?
Okay. There are 9 members of the Water Reclamation Facility Citizen Advisory Committee. Actually, those who are here from that committee, if you can raise your hand and I'll introduce you. So back in the back right, we have Paul Donnelly, and over here, Valerie Leviolette, and I'm sorry?
Stu Skiff,
who's actually not on the WRFCAC, but an important citizen advisor. Back here, Barbara Spagnola, who's on the advisory committee. Steve Shively, I know, is in the room toward the back. And others who are on the committee include John Diodati and Dale Guerra. Who am I missing at this point? Richard Sadowski and Bill Woodson. And Ginny Gerlach. So I think that covers the whole group right there. So it's that's the entire advisory committee, and they act like a planning commission. Only they're focused on this project. And there's experts who are engineering-oriented, planning-oriented, finance-oriented, environmentally-oriented. It's a very diverse group, actually. I just want to put this up. We'll return to this at the end. Opportunities to talk more once we're done here tonight. But we've had a lot of work done so far, even in the last couple of months, as this slide shows, in terms of outreach opportunities, including interviewing some folks from the community. Tonight, of course, we're having a workshop. We'll be having workshops, and also we have Citizen Advisory Committee meetings monthly, although in the last month or two, it's been twice a month. They meet on Tuesdays, every other Tuesday at 3 o'clock, just so you know that, including this coming Tuesday, the 3rd. And in the last month or two, they've been hearing pieces that technical memos that will inform the facility master plan, some basic information, and providing us feedback on how to go forward with the information we do provide. And ultimately, we're going to have a CEQA process that is a big public process once we do have a facility master plan. That likely won't start until the next year, early next year sometime. Okay, now we want to get into the meat of what we're trying to do tonight. We've heard a lot of things over the last couple of years, and there are themes that have emerged, and we've heard some of the same things over the last month, too, and the themes are repeated, but now that we know a little bit more about what we're doing, we're hearing a little more detail on some of the concerns. But what I'd like to do is, in broad terms, share with you some of the themes we've heard. One is that cost effectiveness is very important. I think that's just that everybody says that. It doesn't necessarily mean we've heard cheapest is important, but we've heard be smart with the money and do what makes sense with the money. We've heard a variety of themes on that, but we know money is an important aspect of how this is going to come out. So we're quite cognizant of that and how it affects the ratepayers. We're very aware that that's a key concern. And there's a subset of issues having to do with, you know, how do we leverage our ability to get funding for the project? Don't delay because that increased costs because it'll end up costing more to borrow money over the long haul if we wait. We've also heard things that relate to focusing on the primary objectives of the city, which is to say water reclamation and wastewater treatment, We've heard others who are more broad in their outlook there, but cost is a key concern. Land use compatibility is a big issue for a lot of folks. In fact, that's a theme I want to return to as we go forward tonight in the workshop, and we're really going to focus on that. And by that, we mean visual compatibility, odors, noise, just proximity, being a neighbor. And we've also heard discussion about how it might affect neighboring property values and such. And this is a crucial one. This is crucial because this is something everybody gets. You see it, there it is, and we need to understand that in going forward with whatever design happens, that it is compatible. It's a fundamental council goal. And what we need is the input to allow the facility master plan team to be able to be somewhat prescriptive in what we like and what we don't like, and to allow that to be put forth in a way so that the design team is going to go, okay, that's how we need to do it. And tonight, your input's going to be crucial to that end. And as I say, for those who are watching at home, I'd suggest if you're interested in being part of that interactive process to be able to come in the next 15 minutes or so, because we're going to be able to start that exercise to go into that a little more detail. We've heard other issues, environmental concerns, traffic, cultural resources, biological resources, others. An important one, reclamation of the water. A theme has been, well, if we're going to do that, if we're going to reuse the water, make sure it has the maximum benefit to augment the city's water supply. Make it, you know, let's not waste it in some way that isn't helpful to augment what the city supplies are now, which right now, frankly, throughout California, water supply is a major issue, reliable water supply. That's no different here than the city of Morro Bay. It's fundamentally a goal of the council and the community in general to use this opportunity to be able to find water that helps the city. We also understand that in that equation, that we've had a lot of discussion about benefits to the city water supply. Where does the ag community come into that? To what extent helping the growers and making water available to them, is that the best way to do it, or is there a combination, or just somehow benefiting the city's wells? How does that work exactly, and where do you stand on that? We've heard a lot about that from the community. People have been concerned about how this actually is done. There's a question in the procurement process, that is, how do you get this done? Should the program that we come up with drive the technologies that we use to make that happen? In other words, do we define what is it we want done and then figure out, okay, knowing the program, that kind of drives the technologies we use? Or do we go forward and say, hey, this is the technology we want, and does that drive the program that we have? There's been a lot of discussion on that point, and we've gone through that a little bit through time. We can certainly hit on that, and we will be hitting on that in upcoming workshops more. We can hear more about that from you tonight a little bit if you'd like, but that's been a theme. Design this for the long term. Make sure that whatever you do has the ability to be used over the long haul. That's important for a lot of reasons, cost being one of them, expandability, meeting city goals, providing high-quality water and wastewater treatment. And then also, this is an interesting one, we're focused on the Rancho Colina site as the study site, but we've also heard a theme of, well, let's not discount the possibility it could end up elsewhere. And to that, I just want to remind people that when the council provided direction to focus on the Rancho Colina site, it really was to study that site. But we are also still open to any others that make a lot of sense. We did hear a theme when the council provided the direction that the Morro Valley made a lot of sense for a lot of reasons. So we are focused on Rancho Colina, but we are flexible still at this date. And where we are in the process, we're in a position to be able to do a lot of different things without having to backtrack at this point. So at this point, those are key themes, and I throw those out there to let you know we've heard those things. It doesn't mean we can't hear them again tonight, but we want to remind you that we have been listening and that those are things that are in the record right now. What we'd like to be able to do, and I'm going to hand it over to Debbie Rudd in a minute, is to hear more about that, hear more about those key issues, or for that matter, actually, just as important, other issues we may have forgotten or missed or didn't hear correctly or you want to emphasize. And so with that, I'm going to hand it to Debbie and let her take over, and I'll be over here to help out with whatever you need to have me do.
All right. Can everyone see the board? Maybe bring it all the way up here. And they'll come out and tell us if it doesn't show up on the TV screen, I guess. So the first thing we'd like to do is just brainstorm with you. We have four categories outlined: issues and concerns, neighborhood compatibility, reclamation, and public amenities. And then if there's something that doesn't fall in those categories, we have other ideas. So first, we just want to hear from you. What are your issues and concerns? The last time we talked to you about issues and concerns, we were really looking at the entire city and all the issues and concerns at when you were thinking of choosing a site. Now we're focused on the Colina site. Now we want to know what your issues and concerns are for this site. So the way I'd like to work it is just raise your hand. John, if you could use the microphone, the portables, and then when somebody raises their hand, we can get it on the microphone.
Well, actually, what I'd like to remind people here,
I think the way this is going to go, because it's on television, and I know they've got cameras focused on those microphones, so that when you raise your hand to come to one of the microphones and say what you're going to say there, that'll allow everyone at home to hear you best.
That'll be fine. Okay. All right. It's harder to get people to stand up, I think, but...
Thanks, Dave Nelson. I am here in Morbay. But my concern is that, you know, we seem to be doing a lot of things in and out of order. And it seems to me that we should really know what kind of plant we're going to actually design. You know, Rancho Colina is
That works. So my concern is that by not knowing what kind of plant we need, you don't know if you need 7 acres or you need 100 acres. And, you know, we've heard in the past where the neighbors at Rancho Colina really don't want a lot of satellite stuff on their property, which who can understand that? But it seems, as a citizen of Morro Bay, I'd like to see and have workshops where we actually see the different technology. Years ago, mm-hmm. PERC came up and gave a great presentation. I think a lot of people know about that PERC plant because of the nice demonstration they put on. These people make a lot of money with their plants. PERC told us a list of plants that they had and where they are. And I'm not stuck on PERC, but I know about PERC because they came in and told the community what it is. So we need to see who's using what. We're talking about, you know, just getting rid of this water however we can. I know that the state's working on regulations for toilet to tap. Mm-hmm. I mean, we have to keep this in mind. I mean, water is a precious commodity, and to just...
So I'm going to break that down for you so that we make sure I'm capturing all your comments. We have determine what type of plant we are designing, and then have a workshop about technology, which we are having a series of technology-based workshops.
Which goes the opposite way, though.
Well, we had one workshop last weekend on, was it last weekend or the weekend before?
No, but the work.
Yeah, so, it was on the 17th. We had a workshop just on program delivery. So when you've got 5 years, how do you make that happen? That was kind of the gist of it. So that was more contrast.
And do now, we know what the time is for the next technical workshop?
November 17th. We're looking at a 3:00 workshop because it's going to be November 17th, 3:00, joint WRFCAC and City Council study session. And that's going to be a public meeting.
Yeah, because, you know, to have us come in and make comments about something that we don't really know what the technology is. I mean, I don't think many people in the room know more than a couple different technologies, maybe. So to give you all of our ideas is kind of tough, because if you don't know what we're building, you know, what do we got? So that's important to me.
I think that's, and you're not the first person I've heard that from. I think you're right. We need to make sure that the community has the opportunity to educate themselves and learn from the engineers of the different type of technologies and weigh in on those different type of technologies.
Well, it would be nice with all these people that we have working for us that you should know what's out there. I mean, there's not that many plants being built a year in America. So, you know, the newest technology's out there. Somebody's built it. Mm-hmm. It's been used. The example you hear a lot of is PERC. That's because the community was educated on a PERC plant. We know a PERC plant looks like an office building that you could drive by and not even know that it's a sewer plant. So, you know, give us some more information so that we can pick it apart.
Okay.
We don't come in at the last moment and say, well, here's your technical workshop. This is what we can work with. I mean, if you tell us what we're working with, most people in this room are smart enough to go out and, you know, figure out enough to come in with questions.
Okay.
And that way we can keep moving and get it done, because I've been calling for this a long time. So 5 years doesn't seem like much after the last 12. So let's get it on track.
So we definitely want to address that, and we're going to. Tonight, we're not focusing on the technical side of it tonight. We're going to focus on the architecture or the visual appeal of it. And that's something, that's another component that we need to include in the facility master plan. So we'd be here all day if we touched on everything in one meeting. So we're going to have to break these up in a series of meetings. And tonight the focus is going to be on architecture and then on general issues and concerns that we want to make sure the facility master plan addresses or takes into consideration as we go forward. Yes?
Good evening, Bill Martini. I do agree with Dave's comments on, if you're talking visual and architecture, getting back to, I know as far as a PERC plant, odor was really critical if you're right next to Rancho Colima and all the trailers, and that was, their technology was totally odor-free. It was all underground, so it was non-visual, and on top of that plant, was it looked like an office building. So if you came in, it looked like this building or anything else. And then thirdly, the footprint was 3/4 acre and this was a community around 50,000. Mm-hmm. So if you're trying to figure out, do we need 5 acres, 10 acres, 15, 20 acres, this technology only needs about 3/4 acre. It's totally odor-free. Visually, you can make it look anything you want.
So maybe on issues, I have odor down.
Exactly.
Did you want me to add visual as part of that? Because you talked about
absolutely.
The size.
And when I was going to talk about visual, the only thing truly on visual would be the actual people at the trailer park and Mr. McElvain, because a cypress tree line will knock out any visual from any other place. So for Highway 41... you can totally knock out the visual, you know, so it would just...
So I'm hearing visual from Highway 41, but also visual from the property owners and the adjacent property owners.
Well, yeah, they would be the ones I think would be most concerned about the architecture, because it could be totally wiped out with a tree line. You wouldn't even know it's there. You know, one comment I'd like to make while I'm here, and that is, this has to do with negotiations. It's a little off. It only has to do with the article I read in the paper. And I just wanted to bring up that with negotiations with the property owner and the city, that there was a mention that possibly the trailer park might be wanting to annex into the city. And I just wanted to let people know there's a ordinance 197. It doesn't say you can't annex into the city, but it takes a vote of the people for anything but a public facility. This is just for... in case there was some negotiations and that slipped through the cracks, that anything other than public facilities will take a vote of the people. So that's just a side information. Thanks.
We don't need to write that part down. Other comments that are just general comments or ideas? Right now we have technology, the type of plant, odor, educate public with workshops for these technology and visual.
Hi, Jerry Burnish. One thing I just thought of when he was talking was that out in that valley, there is no lights at night. And that's really important in our environment, city environments, is to keep the light down.
Keep light
down. There's a
down.
Word for that, but I'm forming a blank on that.
That's a good comment.
Anyway, I'd like to see that, to try to build that in so that there's not a lot of bright lights coming from it at night, because it's really important.
So he wrote, keep light pollution down. But you're really talking about night sky lights,
yeah,
right?
So
maybe in parentheses we talk night.
There's a word for that, but I'm just...
Night sky.
Night sky?
Yeah.
Oh, that's what I wrote down. I am concerned about the odor-free. I'm in the Rancho Colina Mobile Home Park. I've been doing a lot of research, and it seems like they can keep the odor down. I drive to work at 3:30 in the morning down to Santa Maria, so I go past a lot of plants, and I do get odor in the night, but not so much in the day. So I'd like that to be made sure that we don't get that, because we get a lot of offshore and onshore wind right there because of the canyon.
Mm-hmm.
And
okay.
So wind is a big factor there. If it's onshore, then it'll blow it away, but I mean, we're like, I was going to ask him to show that picture. We're like, you know, you could throw a stone practically at the plant from the corner of the mobile home park.
Well, we probably should put also on this list then wind. Wind is a factor, so that gets built into the facilities master plan.
I hear it's pretty good on the odor, but I am concerned because I did some research at the beginning of this, and it seems like... everywhere there's a plant in a neighborhood, property values go down. And we're already fighting down because we're in a mobile home park, although values are pretty good right now. But, you know, that seems like we have to be considered, you know.
So property values, adjacent property values is a concern.
Yeah, it really is. And, you know, I don't know if there's some perks, you know, to have it next to our place to make the people feel better. I think mm-hmm. we're going to be getting some kind of water from it, maybe, hopefully, you know, because they're bringing water out.
Well, you bring up a good point. And one of the things I'd like to hear, and when we talk about public amenities, if you could come back up and share your ideas on that as well. Because
okay. Yes.
Living right next to it would be nice to hear your input on that.
Oh, you know, okay, yeah, okay, I'll do it then. I have something. Make the public aware. Oh, yeah, and could we please, I have not been, I mean, I'm maybe considered community lazy, but I don't think we've really had any notices in the mobile home park or anything. Not one flyer, not one welcome, come on in. You know, you guys are going to be the most effective. You guys are going to lose the property value, maybe. And I just like a lot more input. Los Osos, I was reading, I don't know if anybody's looked at their sewer plan, but they really did a good job of involving the community, and the site's beautiful.
So I'm putting on here inform public, but you're particularly talking about the adjacent neighbors. Absolutely, you should have flyers. We'll make sure you get that. And you gave us your email address,
yeah,
too,
Yeah, and
right?
I was part of a big project in San Diego when they redid the train tracks, and it had to do with a lot of community because they were right behind, you know, million-dollar homes. So, I mean, we were really involved, and there wasn't anything that, you know, the people that were going to be affected, you know, didn't know about. And I didn't know about a lot of this, but I will say I'm maybe a little bit lazy.
Anything else?
Not right now. We can come back up.
Does anyone else want to add to issues and concerns before we move to a different banner?
Hi, Judith Carlson. I'm a resident in Rancho Colina Mobile Home Community. Just a point of clarification with what Jerry said. As far as property values, you may be concerned about. Why would we be so concerned with property values in a park? Well, a couple of years ago, we transferred the park into a condominium. So there are many property owners now. I think out of our 68 units, we have, is it 43? 43 homeowners. So that means we own the property as well as the coaches. Okay. So just a point of clarification.
Thank you. Anyone else want to add to issues and concerns? These are things that we want to make sure the engineers and the architects and the team take a look at and consider in the facility master plan. That's a good idea. Why don't we move to public amenities? So I'm going to move the public amenity board up, and then that can be our first comment on public amenities.
And Debbie, you might want to repeat what she said, just because we couldn't hear it.
So the first, if I captured this right, what about adding a walkway around the plant as a public amenity? For the public, is what I'm hearing, and the neighbors. So what this board is for is, you know, everybody saw in the newspaper, there may not be room for everything everybody wants on this site, but what we would like to hear still is, if there is room for certain amenities, if they're public amenities, are not going to be paid for out of the ratepayers. It would have to come from different funding. It could also even be grant funding. But it's now's the time for us to even consider these public amenities, and a walking path is a perfect example of what a public amenity could be in this area. So I'm wondering if anyone else has any ideas of other things that you might see appropriate to commingle on the site. Nothing?
I would just like to ask, what would be the point of having a walking path? I mean, if it's just a structure, a building, why would you want a walking path? Just to walk around the facility, or there would be some other thing to look at, or would it be for tours, or just what?
Good point. I was understanding that you were talking about more of an exercise path, but maybe you're talking about more of educational walk.
Well, I that would have to be planned. It wasn't anything. It was just an idea I had. Some place to take a walk out there. You know, if you know they own the property, maybe you can walk up. You know, a certain you know have a little vista where you could just sit and look out. There's not going to be any odor. So, and the building's going to be beautiful, and all. It just was an idea.
Yeah.
It wasn't any big thing.
But that's not a bad idea. That's not a bad idea at all. There's also, you're asking about the point, some plants have kind of an educational component where you walk around and you have a tour of the plant and you learn about how your water is recycled, where your water is, how it comes in, how it gets cleaned. And so there could be also an educational component.
Hi, Ginny Gorelick, MRFCAC. Maybe one thing we could consider would be a constructed wetland, and then you would have a path around the constructed wetland. So, in fact, it would be more of a recreational area as well. But that would be, I think, in phase two.
And that could be an educational component.
Absolutely.
With the constructed wetland. So there'd be, are you picturing that the path would be around it, and then you'd also learn about that wetland?
Right. And for other people that are interested in this subject, Davis is a model for a constructed wetland and a public recreational site.
Good idea. Any other ideas for what might be a good amenity? You had mentioned in our interview that there was a dog park right next to the park where you live, and I don't know if that dog park is on this property or off this property or how that works, but that's another thing. I would be curious if that's working well and you'd want to continue having that, or if that's completely off the property. It's off. Okay. Any other ideas for public amenities? You guys are easy.
since that's the entrance to our town, you know, I think it needs a lot of visual beauty. That's one reason I didn't really want it in the first place, because that's a gives a bad taste in your mouth when you drive into a beautiful city and right away you're passing the, you know, sewer plant.
So maybe like a, I don't want to, what's the right
not
word?
Just
a visually, I was going to say gateway, but I don't mean to make it sound like it's going to be an arch over the road, but you're talking about just make a visual statement as an entry to the city.
Yeah, something that we can all maybe decide on further along, you know, but something that when somebody comes into our town, you know, they're going to go, maybe they'll look at that instead of looking at the sewer plant. I'm
right.
Not sure.
Right, that's a great idea.
There's that building with all the statues. That's pretty nice across the street.
Any other ideas?
You know, there's a really a lot of ideas, but the problem is we're talking about a property that we've already seen the owner of the property come in and be upset that the city was going to do more than put a sewer plant there. So how do we say, well, I want a park, I want a wetland? I mean, it's really up to the negotiations that our council's doing with the landowner that's going to drive any public amenities. I mean, other than visual, which is obvious, mm-hmm. that we have to do that. I mean, we can't be, this is putting the horse before, you know, behind the carriage again. How do you do this without knowing what we're going to put out there, what the owner of the property is going to, you know, agree to? Because as far as I know, they agreed to allow us to put a sewer plant there. Now, to keep going,
I'm glad you brought that up.
It's going to stir up the pond, and without even knowing what the family wants out there or the homeowners want out there. So you
I'm
know,
glad you brought that up. I did talk to the property owner today just to confirm that I told him we were brainstorming this exercise. Is this okay? And wanted to make sure I wasn't stepping on the property owner's toes and I wasn't proposing to put a Ferris wheel out there or something. But we did want to, and he absolutely shook his head and said, yes, I understand. And he gave us a thumbs up to go ahead and have this exercise. So I appreciate that, and I think the property owner appreciates that too, that we're thinking of him and his family and what they want to see on that side as well. Okay, what about neighborhood compatibility? Is there anything that we haven't listed already that you want us to consider for neighborhood compatibility? We've already listed noise. No, we didn't list noise. We listed odor.
Traffic, noise.
Traffic, yeah. Noise. And light is the night sky again.
Signage.
Excuse me?
Signage.
Two-story
size sign saying sewer plant.
So maybe we want to say attractive signage.
Water is reclamation facility. It's not a sewer.
Sorry.
Water compatibility, you know, because like right now the owner is doing a fabulous job. He's taken care of that park forever. He has a you know, small plant himself, does that all himself. He gets water from wells, and I mean, he does a fabulous job, you know, but you know, our hopes is that water is going to be allotted to us, because I imagine the pipeline will go out the road. The has to have water to operate.
Yeah, good point. Water compatibility is
a
good way to put
that.
Yeah,
and so I had a little idea, you know, since we are so close, you know, I'm not sure if this is the right idea, but, you know, some kind of a perk, you know, like maybe a percent off in the price of water for the trailer park, for, you know, having our arms open with this project and chancing devaluation of property, chancing odor. Anyway, I don't know how to say that on there.
How could we say that in a couple words? Maybe incentives for neighbors? Incentives for neighbors? Does that capture that?
Yeah. So water is a big thing, and I hear the price is going to go way up, but I'm not sure.
Anything else for neighborhood compatibility? The last board, I wanted to capture any ideas on reclamation. There's going to be a facility master plan, and there's also going to be, is it called a reclamation master plan?
The master reclamation plan, yeah, for what you do with the treated water, yes.
So this is a good opportunity before they kick that off completely to give feedback on what you want them to consider in the reclamation plan. Oh, that one's not working.
Yeah, I'd like to see us working with the state at an early stage with the state water board and the state commissions that are working on toilet to tap. And, you know, maybe we can become a model city and show them how it can be done. I mean, the technology's already approved. They're just going through the chemical parts of it. But it's in a box in Sacramento. They're going to vote on it. They're pushing for it. It seems like our timing could be perfect to be a model city for how you do this, which would help with the engineering and all the other things to coordinate. I know it's juggling, but it's just one more ball
up
in the air.
Does that capture it, or do we need to add a little bit more to that?
Well, we're with the state boards, not only just the water board, but... You know, the Energy Commission might be involved in it, or find out who's involved in it. I'm not exactly sure what agencies. It's in the legislature now, being hammered out as rules and regulations. But I'm sure that the Water Board and people like that are more informed, and let's work with them to figure out where it's going and what our timing is and how we can be part of it.
I think what you're saying, if I capture it in a couple words, is anticipate regulations that are going to encourage the immediate direct reuse of the water in some fashion.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Anticipate.
Hi, yes. Bill Martini again. I wanted to follow up on the water because when I first got involved in this was probably 7-8 years ago, maybe longer. And water is actually key. And what I was kind of talking about way back then is that the Moro Valley, the actual ranchers and farmers, avocado growers, their water rights are superior to the city's wells. So unless you either recharge the basin, have water trade-offs, or do something of that nature, then the wells in the Moro Valley actually are secondary, and they, when the aquifer goes down, Moro Bay's wells, you can't use them. So, I mean, I just wanted to make that point that
so
water...
So how can we put that into just three words?
Well, what I was going to basically state that when you were talking about demand for water, number one, there's a tremendous demand, and there are actually hillsides, if the water was available farming-wise...
So demand you would, for water
yeah,
high.
Yeah, there's a high demand. Whether the city uses it or agriculture uses it or a combination of both. And I also think that you need to do the water reclamation and the whole facility as one package, because if you do it as phase one and phase two, it becomes more expensive. And if you're going to do it anyway, you may as well do it all at once.
All in one phase.
Yeah.
And I think, Debbie,
one thing that I didn't capture.
I was going to say, to capture, sure. You said three words. Consider water rights. Consider relative water rights of users.
Yes, we have water rights down here, and we have all one phase. And the other thing that I heard you say is city, farmers, or combination.
Correct. Either or both or some combination.
So but, yeah. City use, farmers, or combo.
Correct. Thank you.
Any other reclamation ideas?
I always know when they start using the desal plant by tasting the water in my house, and there is no doubt a change. In the water that you are going to reclaim, is it going to be anywhere near the desal plant product, or would it be better, or would it be worse?
So I'm going to put here. I'll let you answer that if you want to answer that. But for here is quality of water.
So what the quality of the water is really going to depend on how we're using it. For example, we could go so far that it would taste like drinking water. The challenge is it's illegal to directly drink treated wastewater in California right now. So we can take that as much out of that water as we want to for the right uses. So that's part of what we got to determine is what's the best use for that water, and then design the treatment technology to match it.
Any other ideas before we move on? I see two more.
I would suggest some city irrigation landscaping of the city property owned already, and that wouldn't have to be
landscaping
purified.
City property. I got landscaping city property. Did that?
Yeah.
Okay. Did you have one more idea in the back? Okay. All right, so if there's anything we didn't capture, raise your hand and we'll put it on the other ideas board. Otherwise, we're going to move on to the next exercise. Okay, one more coming.
Just a quick one, I kind of forgot. I've visited some communities where you can hardly tell there's a building there. It's painted to match the land. You know, everything is compatible with the existing surroundings. And it is visually a good thing.
Maybe we say visually compatible?
Yeah, it's, I can't think of the word, but it's, you can't tell the building's there because it's painted the same color as the grass.
It's like camouflage, or is it actually bermed architecture where the...
No, it would be like if you were in a forest, you know, you would have the sides of the buildings look like the wood of the trees.
Okay.
Or, you know, something like that.
Okay, there is a comment in the back saying mitigate visual impacts.
That sounds good.
Okay. Any other ideas that we haven't captured we want to put on these? What I'd like you to do now is on the back of your agenda, there's a room for you to write your top three concerns or ideas, and we just brainstormed some. So if you would fill that out, and then before you leave, hand that in to us so we have an idea of, out of everything that was mentioned, what is the most important component to you that we brainstormed tonight. And then I'm going to go through a few slides showing you what some other plants look like around the state, and then we're going to do the visual preference survey. So I'll give you a couple minutes to write that down. So, John, you probably can start handing the remotes out now. Okay, so what I'd like to do now is just go through some examples of what other communities have done, what their treatment plans look like. This first one is an example in Oxnard. You can see that the building is not a traditional-looking building, but they use a lot of natural colors, and they have some beautiful landscaping and looks like maybe some wetland examples on this one. This is the Oxnard Advanced Water Purification Facility. This is the Thousand Oaks facility. This is the Tillman facility. They really went contemporary.
Are those bigger than ours? Will
be? Yes. That one's much bigger than ours will be. That's for Van Nuys. So much more populated. Butler and Beverly Hills. And this is the Santa Paula plant. I think some of you have gone down and visited the Santa Paula plant. And then some of the communities also incorporate public art, wetland education, meeting rooms for the community. And these are some more examples of areas where communities that have incorporated public art, educational exhibits. This is a public art piece as well. This is a berm where they put a pipe through the berm so that when children came to visit, they have classrooms often will come to treatment plants and visit and learn about how water is recycled. And this shows you how some of the interactive exhibits that the children see. So what I'd like to do now is do the visual preference survey. We have Bruce Frazier here. He's the architect on the facility master plan team, and he's here listening to all your comments. He helped me pull these images together, and what I'm going to ask you to do is everybody has a remote, and on your remote you have a number, and I'm going to have you point the remote. If you're having any problems getting the remote to work, you need to point it at that table over there, because the white disc is really what's going to make it work.
Debbie, just to make sure, I passed out remotes to everybody. I think everybody who wanted one. If someone didn't get one that wanted one, raise your hand, and we have plenty more. So, okay.
And I also wanted to point out that we have two council members here tonight, and the council members do not have remotes. They will not be voting on this. This is really for the community, and they're opting out of that tonight. So to practice, I have a trivia question for you. And what I want you to do is point your remotes up here, and you'll see that your remote has a number, and then there's a corresponding number on the bottom of the sheet in blue, and you'll know if the computer registered your vote when your number lights up. So everybody point. The question is, what was the estimated population of Morro Bay according to the U.S. Census in 2014? And you have four options, 8,000 something, 9,000 something, 10,000 something, or 12,000. So you see how they're turning dark blue. If you saw that one turned, if it turns green or yellow, that means it's just telling you you've re-voted, you can change your vote, or you're just making sure you voted. I know 10, we don't have a 10 remote, 6, 8, 22, and 26. We have those though, right? So some people's vote has not registered yet. I just want to make sure everyone's that's working. 6 and 8? Somebody who has remote 6 and 8? I want to make sure they're working. So if you have a 6 or an 8 on your remote, raise your hand. Oh, you have 8?
No, I don't have one. But remember, I'm not voting.
I know.
But that was left on the table.
That was an abandoned one. Okay, 8 was abandoned.
Yes.
What about 6? Does anyone have 6? You have 6. Okay, you just didn't vote. All right. So how many of you got it right? 17. So you can see now that on the side, over here on the side, we get to see instantaneously how many people like that or dislike it, or in this case, how many people got it right? 17 of you got it right, 2 thought 9,000, and 4 thought 12,000. You guys know your town. Okay, Lance, next one. So what I'm asking you to do now is take a look at this architecture, and we're going to go through a series of different architectural styles. And what I'd like is just take your gut reaction. Is this appropriate architecture for the Highway 41 corridor? And you have the option of A, appropriate, B, neutral, or C, not appropriate. Can you blow it up, Lance? Well, we're going to have a lot of repeats. So you'll see this is more of an agrarian style. This won't be the last time you see agrarian style. We're basically showing agrarian style, some contemporary, some more natural. We have some more traditional. We have some bermed architecture. So not everyone... Okay, can you show them the votes? Appropriate is A, B is neutral, and C is not appropriate. Okay, it looks like 8 is out. 2 and 7. If you want to re-vote, it's not reading your... There it goes, 7. Here's an try pointing it closer over to Lance. Okay, great. So now you see up in the right-hand corner, 4 people thought that was appropriate, 11 were neutral, and 9 thought it was not appropriate. And if I could just, I'm not going to do this on every slide, but because it's kind of split there, what about this didn't you like on the architecture? Somebody who voted against it.
The color.
I heard somebody say color.
The look of it looks like a...
Too dark, like a farm.
Okay, I'm hearing... I'm going to repeat since we don't have microphones on everyone. I heard color, too dark.
Hotel.
Looks like a hotel.
Height.
And the height. And I'm glad you brought up height. This building is not going to need to be... 2 stories, I understand from the architect. Some of our examples are 2 stories, but that doesn't mean you're voting for the height. You're voting for the character of this. Those are all good comments. Next. So this was one of the example wastewater treatment plants we looked at earlier. Has more of a contemporary kind of green architecture with natural tones. Remember, A is if you like it, B is neutral, and C is if you don't like it. Twenty-two and four. It's not reading the. All right, great. Ah, this one's pretty split, too. Somebody says, welcome to Morro Bay. Okay, really, real quick, what don't you like about this one?
Too modern.
Too modern.
Not modern enough.
Perfect. Too modern, not modern enough, doesn't fit in, don't like the way it look. Doesn't reflect the fishing village image of Morro Bay.
But it might, if it has water around it, might bring in a lot of fur and wildlife.
But you like the water around it. Okay. Lance, we need to keep moving so we don't run out of time. This is another one of those treatment plants that you saw earlier. I don't know what style to call this. I'll call it traditional. That's no style.
Yeah. Where is it? It wasn't known much yet.
A, appropriate, B, neutral, or C, not appropriate?
Okay, how about...
And 20?
Wow.
Some people like it. Okay, can you tell me what you like about this one? Can somebody tell me why they voted that they like this one? Nobody wants to say? Yes? You kind of like it because it has a barn look? Okay, that's helpful. Fits in with the environment, not pretentious. Those are great. That's great feedback. Next. So this one has more of that barn look. We're going to look at barns that are natural with natural colors. I'm also going to show you a barn that's more of a traditional white color. Again, this doesn't need to be a two-story structure, but this is just a barn-looking structure. So I'm asking, do you like the agrarian look of this? A is that you like it. Now we're split 50-50. So I know some people said they like the barn look. So what don't you like about this one? So it looks too much like a strip mall. Well, I think this is a strip mall, so that's... but do you like the barn-style architecture? Not particularly, okay. Okay, now this is more of a kind of traditional ranch-style barn, I'd call it. Four and six? 4 and 20. Okay. Well, this is the most we've gotten all on one side. I did hear somebody say they didn't like the color. They would prefer not white. Are you saying that you'd like it to be a more neutral color? The visually compatible? Okay.
Can we put some cows there?
We can put some cows. We can have public art cows, too. Okay, next. So another barn-looking structure. John, can you take pictures of people voting? Again, a nice split. And on this, we've asked enough on barn. Let's keep going. Lance, let's keep going on this one. Okay, so this is an earth-bermed building. Usually these earth-bermed buildings are bermed on one to two sides, and this would be where you'd use some of that extra soil and berm it up against the building and kind of makes the building disappear. You can see the entrance is right there in the middle. A, appropriate, B, neutral, or C, not appropriate? It doesn't have to be grass. 4, 6, and 7, right? 4, 6, and 7, have you voted? It's not registering 4, 6, and 7. 6, 7. All right. I guess 6 and 7. Are 6 and 7 not going to vote? All right, go ahead. Well liked. Okay. So this is another example of a bermed building. No, it's not a wastewater treatment plant, but you might recognize it. It's in San Luis. So what they've done here is they've bermed up to a wall. So they're doing a combination of berming, landscaping, a wall, and then they even have a turf roof. But that same style of architecture could be put anywhere. We could use those same components to put it in a different location. It's well liked again. Okay, another trivia question to break this up. What year was Morro Bay incorporated? You do? Okay, let's see. '23, '16, you can go ahead, Lance. '1964. Okay, this is another style. I want you to look at this. It's kind of a contemporary version of agrarian. You're seeing the silo and the high-pitched roof of agrarian, but they're integrating some different forms for windows to give it a little bit more of a newer flavor. The question is, do all the wastewater treatment plant examples have water around them integrated somehow? Not all of them, but a lot of them you'll see do. This is not a wastewater treatment plant, but it's a children's museum that is sitting right next to the wastewater treatment plant. So they bring kids to the children's museum, and then they can also visit the wastewater treatment plant, and there's this nice waterway and walkway in between them. And then this is some public art that's been put to kind of draw people through. Appropriate. So 12, that's giving the architect a little bit more. Can you tell us what you like about this? Some people raise your... It's variety. Did I hear not boring? Nice. Like the landscaping. Looks like it has a lot of windows. Agrarian, but modern. Great. So it's interesting, when it was all agrarian and dark, I didn't get a very high score, but when you mixed some lighter tones in there and dark tones, you're getting a higher score. It is a wastewater treatment plant. I don't remember where it's from, though.
It is Arizona.
Four, 20, and 11. Great. Not appropriate. That can be a suggestion. This is another wastewater treatment plant in another community. Had a little bit more of a contemporary style, but still done in kind of natural tones. Not appropriate. So let's give the architect some feedback on why you don't like this one. Looks like a state prison. Don't design anything that looks like a state prison, please. Looks like a sewer plant. Not enough buffer.
I hope nobody's not very nice.
Not a nice design. Well, it's. I think it's not even in our state. I don't know where that is. Oh, that's Las Vegas, isn't it? Yeah. This is also a wastewater treatment plant. I'm thinking if I put enough of these in here, I'm going to get you guys to agree on something. So this is really a test. Do you guys remember where this is located? Oh, yeah. So that the Children's Museum that we showed you that you really liked, this is the treatment plant right next to it. So they went for trying to do something that was not trying to, they were complementing each other, not trying to match each other. The question is, why is it so tall? I don't know. Do you guys know why that one happens to be so tall? No, we don't know why it's so tall. I mean, technically, you can put the offices on the second level if you're willing to pay for the elevator expense of doing that. So maybe they did not have enough room. So you guys, you actually agreed on that one almost 100%. So numbers. Four, six, seven, and 11. Six and seven. Not appropriate. Okay, I won't argue with that one. When was the existing wastewater treatment plant originally constructed? A, 1941. B, 1953, C, 1962, and D, 1964. You can go ahead and go. We don't have to wait for everyone. You most got it right. The answer is 1953. So this is another barn-like structure. Not appropriate. As on an earlier one, on an earlier image, you said you didn't like the darker tones. Is that one of the reasons you voted against this one? Looks too industrial looking. Looks like a factory. Looks old. Looks prefab. You don't want something that looks prefab. So this one has more of a contemporary look. Number four. Go ahead and I may be talking. Kind of split. Really fast. Why did you like it?
Low profile.
Low profile. Interesting, modern, but fits in. I'm sorry, what was this? You like the water in front. And then what were some of the reasons you didn't like it? The light colors. Maybe a little bit darker tone or something. Okay, something more natural looking. Okay. So this is what I want you to look at here is what the architect calls facade and box. And really what the idea is, what about if we had a building that was a very simple building and then we put more of a facade on the front of it? And there's an example, a drawing on the right, and then the example. So I'm not asking you to vote on the style of architecture here. I'm just asking you to vote on the concept. Do you like the idea that you would just have a good-looking facade on it so when you drive by you see it? Or would you want to have it more of an integrated 360-degree architecture? Eventually. Well, you have that as one of your, as kind of an overriding goal is being cost conscious. So not appropriate. Okay. Now this one has more of, I call it more of a ranch style architecture. The lap siding, lower pitched roofs, or medium pitched roofs maybe, I don't know. Not appropriate. Can you quickly just throw out some ideas why it's not appropriate so we can...
Scale.
Too big?
Old-fashioned.
Old-fashioned. Okay. Here's another earth berm structure. Okay. Again, the earth berm structures are well liked. So this one is another facade and box, but this time instead of on the concept, what do you think about the architecture of that one? A little bit. So I'm going to repeat that so the people at home can hear that. He says facades aren't good because we have people that live behind it and next to it, and they're going to have to look at the back and the sides of it. So we need something other than just a facade. Okay, another trivia. What months are typically peak flows in Morro Bay? And it's, what was it? Dry?
Yeah. Peak dry flows.
Peak dry flows. What months are peak dry flows in Morro Bay? January and February, A. June and July, B. July and August, C. Or D. April and September. Peak dry flows. So when, I'll let.
Yes, in other words, there's not rainfall. So that should be a hint that narrows it down a little. At least before the last 5 years in Aerodynamics.
Yeah. Go ahead. You're right. July and August. So this is a different question. Instead of looking at the style of the architecture, we're asking, are green building practices important to you? A is definitely. B is yes, depending on cost. C is neutral. And D is no, not at all. So the green building practices, that's sustainability. Number two. All right. Definitely. Great. We got 12 definitely and 7 yes, depending on cost.
Can we combine with like energy facility? Because it's in a place where
So his question is, can we combine it with energy facility? And including solar would be one, a green facility. So the next question is, should green roofs be considered? Definitely A. B, yes, depending on cost. C, neutral. D, not at all. Would you say yes? The bermed look? Yeah, I think you could say that. Well, you're going to have a lot of recycled water there. We have 10 definites and 7 yes, depending on costs, and 7 neutral or not at all. So is it important to create a visitor experience there? You saw in some of the examples that you can create a visitor experience where classrooms can come and learn. And the options are definitely yes, depending on cost, neutral, or no, not at all. You can see in the picture the kids on a field trip there. Go ahead. Kind of mixed. And for the people say no, not at all, what don't you like about the visitor experience?
It's waste of money.
Is that why no, everybody voted no? Cost?
Kids don't have a choice where they go. You lure them out to wherever you are going to take them.
Kids don't have a choice. Okay. And another comment was, children do have to be aware of our future. And it's good to know, if your concern is cost, it's good to know and be able to note that in the facilities master plan. So if there are funding opportunities that are really focused on educating the youth in recycled water, then that could be, if you're still interested in that, we could still incorporate something like that. So again, what's the question? Is it important to have interpretive exhibits and learning stations? So if it cost is your only issue, say yes, depending on cost, because this is another one of those components that there could be other funding for. Four and 14? Okay. Yeah, funding can be available for those, for educational things. This is public art. Is public art important to include? And that the public art there is that arch, but it could be anything, could be tile work. Not at all. Neutral. Okay. So the next 5 slides, I want you to think about your experience going down 41. What would you like the frontage? At this point, we don't know enough about the site to know exactly where that building is going to be, how close it's going to be to 41, how far away it's going to be. So, but what I'd like you to look at, I'm going to show you a wall. I'm going to show you some landscaping, an orchard, a berm of landscaping, and what's the last one, Lance? Oh, a combination of those. Oh, and then also I'm going to show you one that really the landscaping is low and you see the building in the back, so it looks more like a rural setting with a barn. So we're going to go through these and you can rate them as appropriate, neutral, or not appropriate. This is screening it with a wall. And I'm not suggesting that the top one would, we'd only use one, but it'd be good to get a feeling if there's something that you're definitely in favor of or not in favor of. This is kind of across the boards. What do people don't like about walls? Planning Commission doesn't like walls. Okay. Okay, not with a rural setting. That makes sense. Okay, keep going. This is berming, so we could also berm the near the road. So what you mostly see is a berm and landscaping. Okay. Could be, yeah. Do you like that idea for in between? This is a combo of a berm, a wall, and landscaping. Okay, we're almost done. We have like 3 slides left. Six and 11. Okay. Well supported, but not overwhelmingly. This is a picture of an avocado orchard. That's a popular one. And then this one is supposed to represent landscaping with more of a building in the background. Maybe not an agrarian building, but you want to see a glimpse of the building. Can you see how many of the avocados? 21 votes. Yes. So there's a suggestion if we had something like fruit trees or avocado, we could donate to the food bank. As a mechanism to get funding for the project. Four, 24, and 20. This one is this treatment appropriate? And really we're looking at landscaping with a building behind. Yes. Okay. And is that the last image? That's the last image. So with that, I think, John, you're going to take over again. Thank you. And we can print this out and have it available. We can put it on the website, and the architects here, and what won't go on the website are all the great comments that came out of that, and that's really valuable as we go down the road of he's going to be responsible for the architectural section of the facility master plan. He needs to know which direction you guys want to go. So great job.
Thank you, Debbie. That was great. That was very informative, and I really think having that direct feedback right there is a way to really get everybody involved and get a clear gut-level reaction. That's going to be very helpful for us. First of all, I just want to thank everybody for coming out here tonight. We're wrapping it up right now. A couple of things that I want to let you know, and we talked about it before, some upcoming opportunities to stay involved with the process. WRFCAC is meeting next Tuesday. We're going to be focusing on different technical memos and really the facility master plan process as it is right now, that Black and Veatch representatives will be there to discuss that, and the committee will be talking about that and going through that and providing us direction. There will be city council study sessions throughout the process. I just want to put that up there. The next one of those, it's really a joint session with the council and the WRFCAC on the 17th of November, and we're going to be talking about liquid treatment technology, so again, another technical workshop. There's going to be other tech memos coming out before WRFCAC. We just want to throw that out as a theme into early December. And we're ultimately, when the facility master plan does come out in draft form, we're going to be having a community workshop. Again, the dates are to be determined, but just want to roll out the idea over the next couple of months, 3 months or so, the process will continue, and you'll have plenty of chances to be involved. And I also don't want to let you think it ends right there. This is a long process into next year. We're going to be going through more detail on the facility, reclamation planning, the environmental process, and ultimately continuing until we have a project. And we want to make sure everybody stays involved as we go. For those of you who, just as a reminder, on your agenda, you put information about preferences that you noted up here. If you can leave those with us so we can tabulate those. And if you didn't sign in when you came in with your address or phone number or email, any way we can contact you to keep you informed, we'd like you to do that when you leave. But again, we want to thank you for coming out. Grab some cookies. There are still some back there. And we look forward to seeing you all next time. Thanks a lot. Thank you.